And the Lord Jesus said, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is a rhetorical question that Jesus asks because he knows the answer. He himself knew what he would do, but he asks Philip, where are we going to buy bread for all these? As if to accentuate the anxiety the disciples are starting to feel for the press of the people that are there toward the end of the day. We read about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in all four Gospels. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus and the disciples, it's written, are taking a time away, a little space from the press of business, for the ministry of Christ has grown very popular, and people are pressing in on him from all parts to seek healing, blessings, and so forth. So they take a little respite, going on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they get there, they look up, and there are other people now coming. They've seen them go around, so they're following them. It's not just a few, it's thousands of people are coming. And so the Lord instructs them during the day, feeding, they're coming seeking spiritual food, and he feeds them spiritually with his word. And then toward the end of the day, perhaps the disciples can feel the natives getting restless, because they say, send them away so they can get something to eat. And then we hear the dialogue in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, where can we buy bread? Where should we buy bread that they can eat? And Philip's the one that answers him and says, well, even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it wouldn't be enough for each man to have a little. This gives you some insight into the mentality of Philip. You know, he's pretty small-minded. Even if you wouldn't want to put him in charge of the party, because he's thinking about just everybody having just a little bit. And so tells you his where he's at. And even then, he starts to, you know, calculate. Even then, it wouldn't be, you know, enough. We see that Andrew does come up with a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 small fish. And he said, but what are these among so many? So the Lord has asked them this question that they might think about, where is the provision going to come from? Where is it coming from? And they exhaust on the human level their possibilities. They don't know where it's going to come from. You can see this question pushes on them to look then to God, because they hand it back to Christ. And then he takes care of things. Let the men sit down. There was much grass in the place. And then he takes what little has been offered, and for that he gives thanks. So we can learn from this lesson that there will be times in our own lives where we begin to see how small we are in regard to what is necessary, what is needful. God will bring us into that place. That's not too bad a place to be, actually, as we might go there ourselves and recognize our creaturely status. We do this when we acknowledge at the table we have our habits, good habits in place, our disciplines. When we acknowledge at table the grace, all things come to thee, O Lord, or if we pray, give thee humble thanks, O may God, for these gifts thy bounty, bless these gifts to our use, us to thy service. This is a creaturely prayer, acknowledging the gift of the Creator for our provision and for our sustenance. So that's a good place to be. And if not by our own, you know, going, if not by our own reflection, God may bring us into a place where we start to really recognize how we do not have enough for what we need. And that's what the disciples are recognizing in that moment. They hand it back to the Lord, and he gives thanks for what little they have. And this, again, is instructive to us. We do that at the table, Grace. We give thanks for what we have. And then there is the consecration of the gift in that thanksgiving. So we see that when you invite God into the picture, we consecrate what we have. Now it is given to God. There is a multiplication out of that gift as they share with others. They break, they distribute, and you see everybody eats their fill as much as they would, and there are 12 baskets left over. So it's a miracle of plenty that we are grateful as a parish to have memorialized in one of our stained glass windows. It shows the miracle of Christ, Christ through whom all things were made, has now come among us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he shows the abundant provision that God will give to his people, both spiritually and physically. We see in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 a historical moment in the ministry of Christ that anticipates what he will do at the Last Supper. So the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, that points toward, it anticipates and prefigures the miracle of Christ that he establishes in the Eucharist. For here, we gather today, and we take what little we can bring to the altar, symbolized by the bread and the wine. And that little gift we have is not enough to satisfy our spiritual need. We don't have enough on the human level, not amongst us or any resources that we have or any that we could gather on a human level. We do not have enough to solve our most pressing problems, which are sin and death. And if we begin to recognize that in our life, we will see that we really need to hand this over to God. We need him to save us. We are too small to save ourselves. So what Christ has established is this means of grace where we can come with what little we have, symbolized in the bread and wine, and give it to God, offer it up, and by his word and Holy Spirit, it is consecrated in this Eucharist, in this Thanksgiving offering. And then we partake of it together, coming into communion with God and with each other. So Christ has given to us that which we need as our spiritual sustenance, for in the Holy Communion, we have a pledge of life eternal. This is that bread that cleanses the soul. It is that bread of heaven which nourishes us, that if a man eat, he will not die. For Christ has declared it, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have everlasting life in you. So we give God humble thanks for this Eucharist. And we take this pattern, which we come every first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, the first thing we do is to offer this Eucharist, this Thanksgiving, to receive the gift of God in the communion. And this becomes a pattern for our own life, that we would go from this place out into the world, into our own place of ministry, into our families, into our community, into our workplace, and that there we would take what little is there that we would offer to God in Thanksgiving, allow him to consecrate it and share it with others. And then we see the light and life of Christ coming into the world. In the person of Christ, we see the outpouring of the kingdom of heaven. We see that in the miracle of the loaves and fishes. We see it in the Eucharist, and we see it in our own lives when we consecrate what he has given to us and share it with others. And so on this fourth Sunday of Lent, may we come with glad hearts to receive the gifts that have been given, and may we with glad thanksgiving offer up our thanks that what little we have may be consecrated and then bring it to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.